But as much as Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and His power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, just to refresh our minds on where we left off, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 3 to verse 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Paul is talking about spiritual warfare. Acts 10:38 is talking about spiritual warfare also. When Jesus, by the anointing of God, Acts 10:38 says, Jesus Christ, by the anointing of God, went about doing good, healing all who are oppressed by the devil. Isaiah chapter 10:27 talks about how the anointing breaks the yoke. Now the anointing of God, which is the presence and the power of God, is a weapon that we use to break every yoke. We don't care whether it's a spiritual yoke, a mental yoke, or a physical yoke, but the anointing of God can break every yoke. Everybody say amen. Anointing of God can break every yoke, whether it's a spiritual yoke, a mental yoke, or a financial yoke, or a physical yoke. The anointing of God breaks every yoke. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 here, in verse 3 to 5, Paul is talking about the weapons that we have. He's also referring to this anointing and the power of God moving. Only the anointing of God can break the devil's power. Only the anointing of God can break the devil's power. You can do something in your own strength, something in your own flesh, something with your intelligence, with your mind, but the devil is not afraid of that. The only thing he's afraid of is the anointing of God. It's not afraid of just our intelligence, or our mentality, or our brute force, or our physical strength. The only thing the devil is afraid of is the anointing of God. And what we do is that we must create an atmosphere for the anointing of God to abide. We must create an atmosphere for the anointing of God to abide in our midst. That is the creation of the atmosphere. That is why Elisha told them in 2 Kings chapter 3. He says, bring me your minstrel. And when the musicians played, the minstrel played, the mind of all the people to concentrate on God. And Elisha concentrated on God. And the atmosphere was just lying. The presence of God came upon him. He prophesied, and there was a miracle. There must be an atmosphere, a creation of an atmosphere. We talk about how we go by not what we feel or what we see, but what we believe. We do not move by feeling. We do not move by sight, but we move by faith. But let me tell you this, faith breaks down all barriers in order to bring the power of God to the team. Faith works. Faith brings the tangible anointing and power of God when it is the faith of God exercised. It breaks every barrier. So the atmosphere, sometimes you don't feel God's presence. You don't go by your feelings. You don't wait for the atmosphere. You don't just be influenced by the atmosphere or the circumstances that are around you. Sometimes the world goes down, sometimes the world goes up like the stock market. We don't go by the world. You create the atmosphere. You create the atmosphere in your home. You create an atmosphere in the church. You create an atmosphere in your office. You don't wait for others to create an atmosphere. You are a king and a priest unto God. We don't go out and be influenced. We go out. We are an influence. We are the influence and not the one that is being influenced. We are the one that influences the world towards God. We create the atmosphere. And we want to talk about creating the atmosphere through holy living, through holy thought life, through the renewing of our mind. Until every thought is brought subject to Jesus Christ,
the warfare is not over. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. The object of our spiritual warfare, the object of our worship, the object of our singing, the object of our testifying, the object of the Word of God is to bring every thought to Christ. That is not always so in our home. That is why in your home, you must create an atmosphere for the presence and the power of God. Incidentally, if you put a worldly song into the tape, you create an atmosphere, a worldly atmosphere of temptation and sin. Right? If you put a pop team music into your home, the song goes, ring, 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 healing, only healing. Before long, you'll be a very emotional person. You fall in and out of love, infatuated, half-saturated. Because you are ruled by the atmosphere you create. Your thoughts will go to all those areas, emotions. Same with those Oprah watches, or those soap opera. You ever watch him? Jesus and Mercy and You is the second coming time and final the TV watching God's book. Are they not here? What happens when you turn the pen and knock on your TV on and the pastor comes? Jesus comes. Uh-oh. Caught red handed watching the auntie. If we create the atmosphere in our home, we are very careful about the food we eat. Very careful. Everybody is very careful. They eat good food, drink a little bit good, at least. They don't just take anything from the ground and just deep clean it and just eat it. They don't go and rummage in the rubbish and eat of all the things. We are clean. We are careful about the food we eat. You don't eat those decayed parts. You don't eat food that is left long for many days and is stinking and smelling of moldy bread. We are careful about the food we eat. But we are not as careful in the thoughts that are being projected in our home. When you're on the TV, you're on the guest, and all these things, thoughts are being projected. And mind poisoning is as bad as food poisoning. And it can be worse because there's no hospital for mind poisoning. Food poisoning, you know, people do their best, and you're not 16 too. Mark 16 is not supposed for you to just be like a hero and say, this is poison. Bible says, this time they follow those of you. And then tell everybody what. And that will also be the end of you. It won't be your the victory service, it might be your funeral service. Mark 16 is talking about accidental and not purposeful taking a poison. We're careful about all these things to avoid food poisoning and death loss. But we are not as careful when it comes to mental pollution. And mind poisoning eats up the power of God in your life. Mind poisoning eats up the power of God in your life. In the same way as food poisoning will take away your strength and cause you to be sick, mind poisoning will eat up your spiritual vitality. If you get mind poisoning and the thoughts of the world coming into you, you lose the desire for spiritual things. You don't have a desire to pray, don't have a desire to read God's word, and you wonder why. Don't wonder why anymore. Now you know why. Mind poisoning. It eats up your spiritual vitality. Every thought that you think creates an atmosphere around. You can sense sometimes the thought a person is thinking. I'm not saying about mind reading, but atmosphere is created by holiness and holy thought life. It is the atmosphere. When our thoughts, all our thinking, in our home, our conversation, the reading of the word, the putting of scripture colors, nowadays instead of turning the TV off to see the last day, you turn the TV off to see Kenneth Copeland, Fred Bly, or Phil Drinko, something like that. Turn on something to watch the word and let the word fill the atmosphere of the house. If you want Jesus to appear in your home, you have to create an atmosphere for him. If you want Jesus to appear here, you have to create an atmosphere here. Wherever you want Jesus to appear and manifest, you have to prepare the way for him. The only protocol for Jesus is praise, worship, and the word of God in the atmosphere. That's the only protocol for us. Sometimes when you drive along the road in our country, that you would see the outrider come. You would watch, and the motorbike will start coming. And you know what comes after that? The big man. By big, I don't mean physically big. But the big man comes along, the governor, the military bazaar, the king, or the MP, etc., all come by. They have a protocol. They have the people coming before them, preparing the way, calling, and you're driving there. The police will come by and they put up and say, they say, what in the world? Oh, okay. And you go to them now. So you can prepare the way. What are they doing? They're clearing the way. Clearing the way. So that all the king has to do is go straight to him. Isn't it nice to the king? No, it's nothing can. And then the coming came to you. She goes to it. Isn't it nice to be a king? Well, you are king and priest for Jesus. Amen. That's the way by which you create an atmosphere for Jesus to come into our home. Jesus will never come into a home and appear or manifest and appear to you or talk to you or manifest himself in a strong way in his presence. If your home is not prepared for him, we must prepare ye the way of the Lord, as John the Baptist. Let every mountain of pride be brought down, every valley of depression be filled up, every stone of stumbling be taken off, and all the crooked ways made straight according to the Lord God, Jesus Christ, will come in many times. Praise the Lord. That's why you're touching on the preparation of the anointing of God to fill the presence of God. Our thought, the very moment where we can have everyone's thought subject to Christ, the 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, the anointing of God will always move very, 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 very strong. Did you all get a message? Very strong. When our minds are all subject to Christ, that is why we are teaching the word to tear down strongholds on our minds. That is why we are praise and worship to bring down all the wrong thoughts, so that our minds can concentrate on God. We worship God with our body. We worship God with our hands. We worship God with our feet. We dance unto the Lord. You have to worship God with your mind. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all that soul, all that mind, all that strength. You want your mind to be on him, to concentrate on him. Very easy. Just have a holy mind on God. And the holy mind on God, we want to touch on more of that. And we attend to our text. Romans chapter 5 will be our text. Romans chapter 8 will be our text this morning. Chapter 8 verse 1 to 5. Romans chapter 8. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8. Verse 1 to 5. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh,
that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, set their, what is the word everybody? Mind. Everybody say mind. Set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And verse 6 also. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'll take off from that text. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You have there a summary of the scriptures, how to bring the power of God into the atmosphere. When you are spiritually minded, you bring God's life. The word life is Zoe. God's life into the atmosphere. God's presence into your life. God's power into your life. To be spiritually minded is life and is peace. We'll talk about the peace afterwards. It has to do with God's will. As long as you're not in the will of God, you will not have peace. Peace comes when you're walking in the will of God. When you're not in the perfect will of God, or in the community, etc., there is no peace. Peace comes only when you're in the will of God. And life comes when you are spiritually minded. The word life is the word Zoe, beautiful word, Z-O-E. Zoe is the kind of life that John 3:16 said you will receive. Zoe life is the same life that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. Zoe life is the same power that created this world. Zoe life is the life of God. Zoe life is the life that never falls sick. Zoe life is over bios life and two tier life. That is the life of your soul or the life of your body. That is why Zoe life will always cause your body to be healed. Zoe life will cause your soul to be sound. It is the life of God. And that comes only in being spiritually minded. The result of being spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 1 and 2 talks about walking in the Spirit. Many people hear the phrase walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, but they do not know how to walk in the Spirit. The Bible tells you how in verse 5 and 6. Set your mind. That's how to walk. The spiritual walk is setting your thoughts on God. How to walk in the Spirit? Set your mind. How to walk in the flesh? Set your mind on the things of the flesh and you will follow. What you think, you will be. If you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you will do the things of the flesh. It will come forth. A holy thought life will produce a holy life. An unholy thought life will produce a sinful life. The problem is in the thought life. God requires holiness in our mind. Notice in verse 1 and 2 that there are two laws Paul talks about. The law of sin and death, which pulls you down. The law of the Spirit of life, which lifts you up. There are two laws that operate all the time, constantly. One law pulls you down, one law pulls you up. These two laws are against each other. The word law should tell you that the things of God do not happen by accident. If someone gets healed, it's not by accident. It is because the law of the Spirit of life has been kept. It's no accident. Nothing on this earth happens by accident. There are broken laws, cause and effect. Nothing in the spirit world happens by accident. If you receive an answer to prayer, it was not an accident. you take on the law of God, the law of the spirit of life, which lifts you up. They can be compared to the law of gravity, which pulls you down, or the law of thermodynamics, which can bring you up. See, the law of thermodynamics is over the law of gravity. There is propulsion and enough energy being created. The law of gravity can be broken, and you can take an airplane up and move on into the heights of the skies. The first time they used the law of thermodynamics, it was very difficult. Man conceived all kinds of wild ideas to bring the law of gravity. You ever read about how the first man tried to fly? The first man. All kinds of wild ideas. They watched the bird and they thought, if I have wings, that's the answer. And so they had wings made. They found their thoughts ordering. Wings all set. Wings all set. Already waiting for the next wing of wings. The wing comes. They come off. There I go. Already. And they said it didn't work. Why didn't it work? I had the feathers, I pulled the feathers from the dust in the table that I had at home. Why didn't it work? And so many men tried. They tried all kinds of things. The first man to fly was very difficult. But after that, when they discovered the law, it became easy. Easy. People think nothing today of just walking into the plane and just moving up. I was with Eugene in Melbourne and he flew us, supposed to go to Canberra. And he took us on a single engine plane. I look at a plane and say, my, just a tiny plane. I mean, I could, although I'm not that strong in the physical thing, I could shake it through my one. That was how light a plane was. And all I saw was just one propeller. One tiny propeller about the circumference of the diameter of the propeller would be about 2 feet. One propeller. And they just that one propeller doing it very fast could bring the plane up. Yeah. The law of thermodynamics. So they look. And it turns so fast you do not see the propeller anymore. I mean, you can see through and you can see the movement. That's how fast you have to go. And sooner or later, there you were, you didn't say, oh, Jack, all of that, yes, sir. And they said, put on the shielding belt, yes, sir. All of that, any car going, no, sir. He was a pilot in the event. And so we were now, I need to look, single engine plane. And every time the wings would be strong, the plane would shift. But then the law, thermodynamics of, you know, as long as the engine is on, the plane goes. What caused the plane to go up? The strength and the force that pulls it up. It goes against the law of gravity. It will go up. But it needs a certain speed before it can take off the ground. Below that, it will not get off the ground. There is a law of thermodynamics. There is a spiritual law that raises us up and a law of sin and death that pulls us down. The reason you get healed or don't get healed is because of this law. The first time you ever get an answer to prayer, it took some faith and a great exercise of faith. But as you keep on doing it, it becomes easier and easier. Today it's so easy for men to fly. So easy. So easy. All you have to do, get into a ready-made plane. Put on the right gears and everything. And I fly a little bit, you know, let me test it. Yeah, you let me hold it and say, you want to try? I say, sure. So I hold it. I say, every time you want a plane to go up, you just pull it up. Pull it up. Go up. Every time you want to go up, pull it up. The plane goes up. And then the steering, you can go up and down. And if you go to the right, you can go to the right. You know, and it is so easy. I have no flight training anyway. And anyway, I wouldn't know how to start that funny machine. All I know is once you get up, it becomes easier. That's the way the law of the spirit of life works. The first time you ever cast out a demon. Anybody cast out demons? Every one of us is supposed to be demon chasing, tongue talking,
Stay confessing, Christian.
The first time you come to me, it seems difficult. But as you continue doing it, it becomes easier. At first, you just continue confessing the word after you take authority. And the demon leaves. By the time it comes to the thousandth time, he just goes on high. Up! Jesus! The demon goes. And he leaves. But once you are accustomed to reading on the higher law, it becomes easier. The first time, you get your dealing, it won't have effort. But when you pay, then it's easier. The first time you exercise God for finances, it took pay. Then it becomes secondary nature to you. Becomes easier. The first time you learn to be a big giver, it took a lot of faith. Then it becomes subconscious to you. This is a law that works all the time. We have so long in our early days without Jesus lived in the law of sin and death that we haven't realized there's such a vast open atmosphere for us in the law of the spirit of life of Christ Jesus. And every time when it comes to ministering to people, in their conflicting methods, I do not interfere. I repeat, when their conflicting methods, I do not interfere. The law of God says your mind must be set on the agreement. So every time I come to come here, demon people got so many different styles and methods even today. When you minister the baptism in the spirit, people also got many methods. So living here you are praying for the baptism in the spirit, this is your mouth here. Can you see your mouth? Allow me now. Can you see? There you go. Somebody will come to you and say, you know, speak up. Huh? Another will be speaking as you see. And another say, Galileo. And some people will say, Otolio. Say, Ramasaba. Say, Ramasaba. Say, they got all kinds of methods to minister the baptism in the spirit. And so this poor guy here wanting to receive the baptism in the spirit. So one guy said, Galileo. One guy said, say, Otolio, Ramasaba. They all say, okay. And the other said, pick up, what? And all kinds of things. And one guy said, come on, let's go. And another said, hold on. All kinds of men, and then you got such a thing, Hallelujah, taking on and holding on and letting go to this time. And it's still a miracle for you to receive. The atmosphere. I don't interfere with contradictory methods. There are so many different ways that people try to minister, I know it is better for me to stand aside and uphold the intercession. And let the person do it his car. His car. But some evangelists get people to speak somewhere and can't follow his car. Which I do not quite agree. And the drunk that they get to Hallelujah. And then Hallelujah get about 60 miles an hour. Then you go in the tongue. That may be a sound method somewhere. And there's so many different methods that when they're contradictory methods, the mind is not in agreement. If the mind is not set together, the life and peace cannot flow. Do you see that? Life and peace, the life of God, flows only when our mind is set on the things of God. If you are alone, that's okay. But when you're in a group, you need to get in to set the same mind together. One heart and one mind together. And the same is casting out devils. Sometimes when people got so many methods, sometimes the delivery, you have the deliverer and the delivery. The deliverer is the one in the deliverance ministry. Of course, they acknowledge that Jesus is the only deliverer. But we mean the assistant deliverer. The deputy deliverer comes to the delivery. And so the delivery was told. You know, and then the demon said many times, and this person will say, the name of Jesus, And I say, stop the blood of Jesus. And one will say, shake him up. And all kinds of things. When you're conflicting methods, the demons have fun. The demons have fun. And that is why I always advise to say, if you want deliverance, you want to minister, you must go by this way and this is it. You need to try all this way to try until you're satisfied, and then you cannot get out, you come back. But with a conflicting method, you cannot minister, there is no unity. The only unity you can try to get is you pray in the spirit while the other ministers.
while the others ministering. Many years back, I was traveling and I was attending again. And I was just attending a prayer meeting, watching one minister. And this evangelist, other preaching, they were casting out the demons. And so they were casting out the demons, checking out the demons, saying, "Hey, come out, come out." And you know, very low voice. The demons were like big noise for them. Come on, Jesus, come on, come on, come on. And the hands are holding tight to the person. Come on, Jesus, come on,
Even you need to ask for the blessing. When the such agreement of unity together,
God Almighty Himself would turn around the archangels and say, bless them!
The blessing of God
would
flow my
children. The blessing of God comes for me and all my neighbors working and doing together. That is in a corporate area. In an individual area in your house, as long as a husband and wife are not in agreement, the blessings of God cannot flow in your atmosphere. If you are living under the same roof, and if the people living under the same roof do not have agreement, there will be no spiritual power there. Sometimes I walk into a church, I could sense it immediately that the people are not united. And the lighting could not do anything. It is the unseen part. We may be physically together, but if we are not united together in one heart and one mind, we hear the name of God. I've seen many, many churches. In some of those places I go to, it is dead. The feeling there is dead because there is pride and division there. The lighting of God cannot move. If God ever moves in that area, He violates His own law. So He does it. He does it. Intercession will work, brother. Yes, He will work. But intercession brings the unity first and then the unity brings the blessing. That's how it works. So corporate together and in a family together, if the husband and wife are in agreement, the Bible tells us then in the Epistle of Peter that the prayers are hindered. Important. That is why the devil is always, all the time, freaking people out in a mental disagreement. We are wanting the spirit, we are wanting the spirit, yes, but unless the minds are united together, in the same mind of Christ, the power of God is in there. A person in your own private life, your thoughts are divided. A double-minded man cannot receive anything from the Lord. A man of double mind, your thoughts keep doubting the Lord, shaking your mind, the power of God cannot work in your life. Until you stop your praise, stop your double mindedness, and go unto the Lord in one heart, one mind. The word says it, that's it. You will not move to the left or to the right. The day will come in Ephesians 4, that the body of Christ will no more be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But every individual member of the body of Christ will be so strong in the word of God that they will not move to the left or to the right. They will just be on the word. On the word. On the word. If your life is like that, watch out. The power of God is on the way. The power of God is on the way unto you. Your mind is set on the things of God. The power of God is on the way. Some people wonder how they have the blessings of God in their private devotion. Where do you concentrate on God? In your heart, your mind, and all you do. What power will be strong in your process and to you here? That same anointing. Yes, that same anointing. When I pray in my private life, I need concentration on God. So that I will not be distracted and concentrated on God. Content is at the end of about half an hour of solid concentration and worship. I'm not talking about just trying to concentrate your mind. That will be too difficult, too hard. What you do is talk to Him, worship Him. 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 I want just a minute to look at it. You have come 1 to 5 minutes now. 1, 2, what country is this? What country is this? Right. And you start counting when you answer me. Your mouth, right? You cannot, your mind can only think about one thing at the same time. You cannot think of two things. One thing at a time. If you're thinking of counting 1, 2, 3, what country is Malaysia? You stop counting. Some people try very difficult to have your mind. They just, oh, you know, I hope you must have a holy mind. Holy mind, holy mind, holy mind, holy mind. So they go back, they concentrate. Your mind will think about what your words say. So don't think about this
God is never saying something.
I said, if you have an old man, you have two projects.
Very good at home.
They don't talk out loud to Jesus. I know Jesus can hear a thought, but your thought can concentrate that way to your word. See, when I talk to Jesus and I turn my name, he will not laugh at me. I need to worship. We sing with all the new times. Then you sing a song to Jesus. I love you. You spend half an hour doing it, your thoughts are all of Jesus. No problem. Your mind will think on where your words go. The Bible says the tongue is the control center of the mind. So to have a very short life, we speak the words that we want to think about. And as we speak those words unto the Lord, worship Him. And then you can get to an atmosphere where every thought, I repeat, it must be every thought, subject to Jesus. At that point, the power of God becomes very strong. The power of God becomes very strong. Very strong. Some people, when they are praying God for good eyesight, and they come before God and they can exercise their faith, and when they get by His Christ, our peace. And you look out again. Look out again. Then it says, by His Christ, our peace. Something begins to happen to you now. If the power of God begins to be released, because your mind becomes concentrated on God. Unless your mind is concentrated on God, the power of God cannot flow. Remember the things He says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace come only when your mind is centered on God. The power of God can only flow when your mind is in one with Him. When there's unity in your mind in the Word of God. Otherwise, there's a mental blockage there. The power of God cannot flow. Cannot flow. You look at the difference when you're exercising your faith and I'm healing every area. You quietly say, let God follow me, and that doesn't work. But when you open your mouth and you speak and say, by His Christ I was healed. Then you begin typing on the word, you see the difference there. So your mind concentrates better on the Word of God. Your mind is able to concentrate fully on the Word of God, even when tyrants start buying time. Well, if you're tired, you're going, that probably is a humanitarian need. But sometimes when you're concentrating on God, the devil comes and makes a loud noise. I can tell you that when you reach a point of concentration, where your mind is run on God, every thought subject to God, then God will bomb it to you when you will hear me. And what do you mean? You're trained just to concentrate on God. And by the way, the bomb up next to you when you're just for yourself. Don't worry about that and who is the Psalm 91 when you're lying. Because at that point, the power of God is so strong in your life. There won't be all these depressions, won't be hindering you anymore. Don't say that because many people are hungry for the power of God, but they're not prepared to pay the price of a holy power life. Of a spending time to get all the thoughts you need on your own. Play the guitar. Or you can play the music. Because, you know, you sing some songs to the Lord. Sing some songs. Or sing some words unto the Lord. And get the energy produced in your life.
just like in Aisha, and she heard the music, he stopped to all the concentration on the law. And when he stopped concentrating on the law, power of God begins to operate. That means the power of God moves very strangely, people sometimes don't understand. And we worship sometimes in a group like this. Each one of us has different concentration points. Some of us that we worship and just, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Now, this is nice that Tila has gone. I love you, Lord. Now, look at James and Lina's brother. I love you, Lord. So, each one of us are concentrating differently. And sometimes, some of us say, raise up your hands and praise the Lord. Yeah. Certainly, If you caught me when I was a former Baptist, you say, leave out your hand and take the Lord. Yeah, I used my dad and he asked me, the man of you to know that he is. Leave out your hand and take the Lord. Leave out your hand. Take my brother. Hey, yeah. See you later. And why doesn't it? Because there, can we all run from our feet? So how do you worship the Lord? How do you know what worship was? And they wanted to teach me about food and meat and worship. Some of us, when they're gathering a picture of heaven worship, are they singing under their mouth? They're conscious of ourselves. Nobody listens to the Lord. And sometimes you feel like dancing under the Lord. The sun is at night and your spirit starts moving a little bit. But you can hardly hold your spirit hold under the chair because your spirit wanted to dance. And so you stand right through the dance, you say, I don't want to be funny. Never have it been. You concentrate against on your channel. But some could concentrate on the walk through you. And they were moving against you and said to the Lord. And then they think that that is a God. They kind of said, oh, the presence of God was here. And the God presented, I don't know why you know the presence of God. I don't know the why. Same way, they are not here. But you can't consider them being a different thing. But if the people of God to just all forget about themselves and concentrate on the Lord, worship the Lord, forget about anything, that all our concentration is on Him, the presence of God is strong. The presence of God is strong. Very strong, I believe. That will happen when we have all our thoughts set on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we heard the word of God, your mind takes thought about all these things. The presence of God is always there, all the time. Sometimes you see some people new to the power of God. They concentrate. I really know some of them concentrate. And you know some people just keep falling under the power. And the guy sitting there goes, what kind of church is this? Bohemian church. And then the power of God turns the whole chip. And then sometimes the power of God turns and people start taking, you know, all. But they're not aware of the taking, and then that's what they're never on the wall. So my main answer is that the power of God works with me in each person's mind. Sometimes you take something that takes you to the level of God's anointing. You just give a certain time. In our church here, we allow full liberty of the Spirit of God. When the power of God moves, as long as it is within a certain land, that is, it has not become to the extent that it affects the one next to them. Of course, if the power of God, you know, or so-called some shaking happens to you, as you are there and you're sitting next to the person, and the power of God first comes on you,
We don't want people to know our new place with our faces to us.
So we were somewhere, the pastor coming to you, and maybe, you know, coming here somewhere, and you see. So how you want to?
Now we have a certain guideline, learning about power of God. But at the same time, we do not want to quote the Holy Spirit, and we do not allow freedom of expression in the Lord. But to a certain extent, in the power of God means that there is a strange manifestation. You have the what I call the church. In the earlier, if you read all these things that happen in church history, if you read about the Pentecostal revival in 1900 and Azusa Street, some of the strangest manifestations take place. Now either you want God's power or you don't want it. If you're going to say,
we will be a very dignified church, come take in your glorious hands and you'll be our money.
Even when you lift up your hands, you will be very dignified.
Whatever it is, under good.
You will make your hands, make sure it's exactly you had a common degree. Dignity.
Yeah, the dignity until the Lord has a new crown.
And stand at the door knocking and say, let me come in. You say, sorry Lord, we are having a good time here.
Without Jesus.
Neither do we want to fall on the other side of being so dignified and so we get too, what we call, too classiness, you know, into what we call the
no.
And we are learned that the ways of the Spirit are hard, the law and the fear of life. In Christ Jesus. So we give some liberty to the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Some liberty. And sometimes there are strange manifestations, but as long as the manifestations do not affect the one next to them, then we permit them in our meeting. We permit them. And we don't worry about demons. And sometimes demons are clean in one corner, sometimes demons are clean. You know, some brother over this time and this, what kind of church is this? Oh, this is a March 16th to 17th and 18th church. The church that cannot do demons. These signs are all the believers. And so don't worry about that. They are enough paying counselors taking care of demons. And demons don't jump on you, don't worry about that. They don't like to say something around, especially like the Holy Ghost fire around. So if you are not jumping on people, you're jumping around avoiding the fire. That's all. So there are lots of movements and some movements of the Spirit of God. Because I'm already on the way the Spirit of God works. Sometimes it can be very strange and peculiar. The peculiar anointing and peculiar way the Spirit of God works. As long as there's a certain duty, there will come out a duty of peace about that. And the most important thing, it edifies the presence of God. The person is experiencing the presence of God. This is not in the God. The beautiful and wretched moment is in the presence of God. You wouldn't know what you're doing. I know it's like that, that the Lord is going to do something for you too, you know, it's so strong. Some of you are the visions of heaven. In heaven, you'll be the visual dancing, and dancing, you'll be dancing before whatever you're doing quickly. They didn't know that you haven't done so. When I happened at Adela Street, where the Spirit of God moved upon certain children, and the children, they could see them dancing on this earth. They didn't. The children, they just came out of the Spirit and said that they were dancing in heaven. They didn't know the body wasn't moving down there. And they caught purple in the Spirit. So these things are the Spirit of God coming when our minds are stressed on the Spirit of God. So that unity together. Then the light of God begins to flow in our midst. And then it becomes strong presence. Do it in your home street. Do it in your private life. Get up early. Seek the face of God. You want the power of God to move. Today the power of God is available very strong for people. God has his hands and hands over you in our nation. There's a revival coming forth. And what you're seeking early will pay. There's a difference in an anointing today. There's a difference in strength. There's something that's coming forth. And it's for those who prepare the atmosphere for Jesus to come. God in our life, we will properly hear a manner of God for the moon in our life. Let's go to God in prayer.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We have heard the word of God. We have heard about the anointing of God and the presence of God. As we all bow our heads in what they call it, when we set our minds on Jesus, the presence of God is just keeping all the ways and desires here. The anointing and the presence of God is just flowing over the spirit and the mind and the heart. Some of the thoughts that are coming into you come from the Holy Spirit as well. For you are before the very presence of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Right now, as the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart and with your life, working, drawing you in your spirit and in your soul. Right now, as Jesus Christ reaches out unto you, there are those of you here who have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never been born again. You're not sure if you die right now, whether you'll be in heaven or not with Jesus. Jesus is speaking into your heart this very morning. The person that you saw was the presence of the Holy Spirit here now. And he's drawing your heart even this morning and saying, Jesus wants to come to your heart and life. And you know that you need help. You know that you need prayer. You know you need Jesus to come into your heart to give you a born again experience. You've never taken that step of decision before. Now is the time. Now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the desire of your heart. You want Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. Right now, you need help, you need prayer. You want to pray with you. Wherever you're sitting, right now. And when you hate God and life, please lift up your right hand straight up unto the Lord. Straight up saying, I need Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior. Right up, feel right up. You have to feel it now, to put it down. Feel it, feel it, feel it, put it down. Any other person want to say, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my mind. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Jesus is speaking to your heart right now. Any other, now is the time of salvation. Quickly now, lift up your hands unto the Lord. Say, I need you, Jesus. Yes, there's another hand there. Yes, any other? Yes, there's no more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Any other? Took him by the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, in this very reverent moment and atmosphere, I want each one of you to just stand up wherever you are in the presence of God. Right now, stand up before the Lord. Yes, each one of you, everyone, say the word to stand up. Right now. And if you say that song, all to Jesus, I surrender. Jesus Christ said that if you confess me before me, I will confess you before my Father and the angels in heaven. So when Jesus died for you, he died suddenly. He died shamefully before all the multitudes passing by on the road. And when you come to Jesus, don't be ashamed of him. Come and not listen publicly. Say you need him to be your Lord and to be your Savior. Jesus said, confess him before me, and he will confess you before the Father in heaven. And you lift up your hand as well. As you sing that song, all to Jesus, I surrender. And you lift up your hand, I want you to just step up from where you are and come back to the front and sing that song, all to Jesus, I surrender. And make it public confession of Jesus of your Lord and your Savior. If you are here and you feel with your friends, you cannot tell them to come up together with you. Stand away from your friends. And those of you who are staying away from God, any Christian who has been trying to stay away from God, any one of you, you need to come back unto God. Now is the time to come back unto God. Now is the time.